The most magical day of the year. It is lineup day. What podcast, which bands this year that matter? It's Lord Taco, Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. I can't believe it's actually here. We're good at the lineup part, Barry. We're not so good at the festival part. I don't know if we can do lineups all the time. In fact, let's do a few more lineups. It doesn't really mean we're going to have a festival.
That's true. We've had lots and lots of practice.
Yeah, we've got the lineup thing down. Now we have to point out again that we're actually going to do this.
Yeah, point out again the longest running podcast about an event that hasn't happened.
That hasn't happened. Sure. I can't believe it's actually happening. And there's a part of me that maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm alone on this, but boy, I have tapped out for so long on this kind of stuff. I didn't follow any of the rumors. I didn't follow any of the leaks up until like yesterday and the day before and like a week ago. That's it. I just been tapped out. And I kind of would suggest that to a lot of people because it's been glorious not worrying about this.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I thought, man, what am I missing here? Am I just that old? Which I know you're going to say I am, but.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I tweeted this out earlier. I miss Blam. Do you remember Blam and how fun that was, where we all got together and hung out? I mean, we all went to Mellow Mushroom that one week or that one night, and we had a big lineup reveal party. We watched Blam together and called a phone number. And every time we called, we got a different person on the lineup. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And now we just wait around till noon.
Well, and then we have fun talking about it, and then we rethink it a week later, talk about it some more.
Yeah, I get really excited and say it's the greatest lineup ever. Then 2 weeks go by, and I'm like, man, I really hate this.
Yeah, yeah, I'm never going again, ever.
I'm never going again. I hate it. All right, so the lineup is out, and
should we do this first?
What do you want to do first?
We've done, this is our fifth year, and I thought maybe we should do a quick sort of, what do you call it in the biz, a reset.
A reset.
There might be
okay.
People who don't know who we are and why we're here and what we're talking about.
The reset should be my hair. I just rolled out of bed. What's going on here, guys? Is it all right? Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to start over while you go fix that?
So you do the reset. I'll leave that up to you. It's all you, Barry.
Well, I'm Barry. I've work for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Brad is in radio. Brad Steiner works
I'm
for
Russ.
Brad with the hair. What do you program? What is your title?
Yeah, program director, operations, and radio cluster in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. But
Russ is that's in Ringgold in the bus.
Russ is in the bus as always.
Yeah, I don't really do anything. I just sit in the bus and drink PBR all day.
My man.
Carries us. But we've been going, Brad and I combined almost 30 years.
It's
15 each or so.
I mean, I will say it's pretty amazing that this is the start of season 5.
Right.
I mean, this is not something that we never anticipated doing
not
it
like this,
more no. than a year. We just
That's
wanted
what I wanted
something
to
do.
Yeah, if you're just now joining, we started this in 2017.
2018.
Because there was 2018, just to talk about how much we love the festival, the
because
logistics
that year
of
the
it.
Lineup was light and we had nothing else to talk about.
Right. And we found that people all over the country and even the world like it as much as we do. And in the last year, it's developed. You're going to fidget
what
with that.
What's going on with my hair? What is happening here today?
And we just figured out that a lot of people like not only Bonnaroo, but all kinds of festivals as much as we do. So that's why we are here. Consequence picked us up, 8, 9, 10 months ago. We're part of their network because they like music and festivals too. So anyway, I just thought if somebody just dropped in, like, who the heck are these guys?
Who are these idiots?
These are these mooks. That's how we got here.
What's a mook? I'm sorry, Barry. That's the mooks.
Mooks.
That would
a good
be the
band
mooks.
Name, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I will say, you know, and maybe it's because of the 2 years that we've gone through this, the lead up to this for me, I insinuated earlier, I have not been
right
into it. I really have not been into it. And I guess, you know, I found out a week ago where the big rumor was that the Dixie Chicks were going to be our first female headliner after, you know, Lizzo was on the lineup twice. I mean, I read that and I was like, there's no possible way that in 2021, that is a relevant headliner. And I'll start there. I think that if we were to pick a name that was available to be your first female headliner, Lizzo was not the one. I think we all, you know, settled on Stevie Nicks being that's appropriate.
It's a pretty solid pick.
That's appropriate. Yeah. Even though I've heard from so many people that go to her shows and say, you know, it's really 50-50. If you get her on a night where she's doing some Fleetwood Mac stuff, you're fine. But if she's doing her stuff, it is a snooze fest. Yeah. So I have no idea what to expect, but I'm betting that's, you know, I would hope because of the history of Bonnaroo and that Sunday night, you know, legacy act doing just hit after hit after hit. I hope. That's at least, you know.
You know, it's interesting. Really, she's in that. So. She's in that same stratosphere. Stevie Wonder used to be that way. Bob Dylan that way. Mm-hmm. Van Morrison, you know, just Van depends Morrison, on what night you get. So. Yeah, just depends. But
another one, by the way, Van Morrison, another one. I can't believe they haven't made a call. You know, Van Morrison just seems like he would fit a Saturday afternoon so perfectly at Bonnaroo.
That's way up there on my list.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I start with Stevie Nicks, and I'll just go through your first impressions, and then we'll go line by line. What do you think so far after you spent here at, 10 o'clock in the morning on a lineup day?
Yeah, we got it a little bit early, so looking at it, I think your first reaction was, eh. And then more I taco and I looked and talked while you were getting set up. It's not top heavy for me. Stevie Nicks is definite. I want to see the others. I will go and see the second line and then some of the undercard people. There's a lot in there for me. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, I've seen. She's always terrific. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's an icon. So you got to go see it. Mm-hmm. King Gizzard, I'm glad to see on there. Goose, we've been talking about since their virtual Bonnaroo. Japanese Breakfast owes us a do-over. Briston Maroney's on there, we like. Isaiah Rashad's a Chattanooga guy.
Well, hang on a second. You're going way too fast.
Am I? Okay.
Start with your initial impressions. Your initial impressions is that even though the top doesn't do anything for you, there's nothing there that you like, huh?
On the top?
Well, in the whole festival, you mid card down, you feel like there's enough in there for you.
Oh, enough in there. Yeah, I thought you said nothing. Yeah, there's enough in there. Okay. And I fully expect to find some folks that are new to me. So yeah.
Lord Taco?
It's good. There's enough, I think, from 2020 and 2021 to kind of like slide in there that, you know, will be good to pick up that we didn't get to see. Mm-hmm. There's something every day that I'm interested in. So I think it's good.
My initial impression was, man, I really feel old for the first time in my Bonnaroo life. This makes me feel very old.
It won't be the last time.
What's that? Yeah, no kidding.
It won't be the last time.
Much of that, because I was thinking about this, goes back to what you were saying earlier, where you sort of checked out. I mean, there's a lot of, I wonder how many new acts have come along in the last 2.5 years that I just don't know about. Because I've sort of checked out.
Well, I mean, look, I think the first impression of this and maybe a lot of these that you don't know, Barry, is because a lot of this is the most electronic heavy lineup that they've ever put out. And I think that if you're an electronic music fan, this is just a dream come true for you. Yeah. If you're a classic Bonnaroo person, you probably want to throw up all over your clothes. So, you know, I have a feeling it's going to be really polarizing. And, you know, at first pass, and I, you know, I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind, but at first pass of this, it feels like when your ex starts dating someone else, when you start looking around and you're like, oh, they've moved on, because this doesn't feel like the same festival that I was so excited about 2 years ago. The lineup that came out 2 years ago was one of the greatest festival lineups we've ever seen, and it never came to fruition. So we got a watered down version of it last year, and now it feels like there's just it's totally different. I mean, this feels like an operation that's not being ran by the guys that yeah, the same people anymore. Better or worse, I don't know, but this doesn't feel like the Bonnaroo lineups of old.
All right, I'll give you that. Yeah, there's some lanes in there. There's some acts in there that feel like Bonnaroo of old, but probably not percentage wise. To your point, I'll give you that. And you know, some of that has to happen. I mean, we've both done it enough that there have been several years where I felt like that, or the, put it this way, the perception from the masses was that that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. This is not the same Bonnaroo.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they've done that several times.
Well, I think recency bias comes into play with a lot of this stuff, and that's why it's always the worst lineup ever, the greatest lineup ever. You know, we have this recency bias that only accounts for this amount of time that's ever existed in the history of time. So, you know, I don't want to go crazy and say, you know, worst, greatest, anything. It's just, you know, first off, if anybody thinks that booking a festival at this point in the world is easy, look at Coachella. Coachella is the stories that I've heard come out of Coachella as to why this band pulled out, or this artist doesn't want to do it, or this person's asking for this. I mean, it's so batshit crazy, Barry, that I don't even want to repeat it because it doesn't sound right. I mean, the demands on the writers that are changing on the daily, so that, you know, one person gets this and one, the other person gets that because the ex of the girlfriend or the boyfriend. It's nutty, the stuff that I've heard come out of Coachella. Just in that world, it's hard to book. But imagine now trying to, you know, add COVID on top of it and, you know, budgets being slashed in half. I don't know how you book a lineup, to be honest with you. So just putting something out, congratulations. You deserve all the credit in the world.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree. And I keep thinking of our conversation with Steven and Brian several years ago for that amazing lineup, you know, when you had two guys doing it and there was no COVID, everything was pretty much, you know, they could not pick and choose, but a lot more so than today. So I agree. I mean, I can't imagine what all they've had to deal with. People changing their minds, acts breaking up, you know, moving on, going over, whatever, all kinds of things.
I mean, you can put it in the COVID bucket if you want to, but you know, there is, if you just go with surface level here, it's a tad schizophrenic, this lineup. It is a tad schizophrenic. And in some ways, sometimes it's really good. You know, you can find a lot of different bizarre things when it's this schizophrenic, but man, when you have, I don't know what the rationale with booking Machine Gun Kelly is, but there's no world where I understand it. Yeah. You can sell me on a million different things, but there is nobody in this industry that makes me scratch my head more than Machine Gun Kelly. And frankly, if the argument was a ticket play, I don't really even know if he sells that many tickets. He didn't, not every one of his tour dates was sold out on his tour for his latest album. He came to New Orleans and, you know, the report was before it got shut down because of COVID that they sold less than 5,000 tickets for, you know, 15,000, you know, person festival. I don't really understand the rationale because he fits nothing that this festival is about. You know, Tool and Stevie Nicks are the closest thing, maybe the Chicks even. I mean, you could even convince me that the Chicks fit more about what the Bonnaroo mentality is supposed to be than any of them. But the rest of it, I'm really struggling to figure out if this is a Bonnaroo lineup or just another festival lineup. Does that make sense?
Or what, you know, best they could do this year. I don't know. I'm going to wait and see on that one. My worry was, like Russ said earlier, that there would be days that I couldn't find anything. And I'm okay with just about every day. I know only two names on Thursday, I'll be honest with you, but we all know Thursday is Discovery Day. So that doesn't bother me.
I'm giving you one right now. The Dip. Down the Dip. That is a fun show.
Wasn't that a song by Freak Nasty?
Yeah, it's what you nicknamed your. Never mind. But you know, the other one that makes me laugh is I don't want to. Okay, I'm just going to say it, and if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. But how the Brook and the Bluff still makes their way to festivals is beyond comprehension to me. I know that the guys might be very nice people, but the people that are their representatives, they have done the best sales job on this band that I've ever seen, because there's just no metrics to back this up, but yet they find themselves on every festival lineup in the world.
I want to go see them.
Now you want to see them. Yeah. Well, you had them in Chattanooga. We did them at, we did them for the first Moon River Festival. They were there. Oh, yeah.
They were there at Shaky Knees too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you saying they bluffed their way in?
Well, you know, if you wanted a nice nap in the middle of the day, that's your band. That's the guys for you. God love them though. I mean, I don't mean to dog on them. It's just, it's pretty remarkable if they keep finding themselves on festival lineups. All right. So that's my initial impression. I don't want to dislike it, but the mere fact that Machine Gun Kelly is on a lineup makes me so uncomfortable, because he just doesn't fit anything that festival is about. The second band that sticks out like a sore thumb for me, and it's because of some recent news that came out about their guitar player and some underage girls that was, that he was accused of. All Time Low has gone through it the last 6 months, and they've seen a lot of their shows get canceled. They've seen a lot of their shows become underattended. Now, I don't know if that's because of COVID, but also they've got some serious stuff out there, accusations against the guitar player with underage girls. Now, a lot of that could be incorrect, but it is very surprising that Bonnaroo is, you know, rolling the dice, especially when they have a very female presentation on their top line. I'll put it this way. They don't have a female presentation, but they are definitely making sure that they put females first for the first time. Now, yeah. By the way, does that mean Lizzo's the first ever female headliner, or will Stevie Nicks be the first ever female headliner, even though Lizzo actually didn't perform?
Yeah, depends on how we define it. Mm-hmm. Probably gonna. I mean, shoot, that it could be written that Lizzo was the first female artist booked as a headliner for sure, by guys like me.
Yeah,
but Stevie will be the first to have actually done it if it happens.
Okay, so those are my first two thoughts. Now I'll go, let's just start with the headliners. You know, there's not much that you're going to get from us on these headliners. You know, you're not looking at the biggest Tool fans. You're not looking at hip hop fans.
I'm excited about Tool. I'm glad they made it on there.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go see him. I'm not a huge fan, but doing, you know, went listening back to some stuff. And I could definitely hear them on the farm. They fit what you and I talk about all the time.
Sure.
You know, you can hear it in that big field for sure.
I agree. You know,
and Stevie Nicks, like I've said, icon. I want to see J. Cole. I listened to one song, and you know, I really only have one or two rules: no misogyny, and you know, I'm not a big, if you can't think of a better word, I don't want to hear it. So I won't be there.
Yeah. Well, J. Cole has what I really don't like being this negative. I really don't. But by all accounts, that 2015 J. Cole show was one of the worst shows of maybe a Bonnaroo history. I just don't know many people that that had positive things to say about that show. But I mean, if you went and you liked it, then more power to you. Yeah. But it's surprising that they bring that kind of stuff back. Instead of going through Thursday, any thoughts on any of the other headliners, any of the top lines, the Chicks, Illenium, Flume, 21 Savage, Machine Gun Kelly, Roddy Ricch? It's almost as if they created three headliners each day that perfectly fit each other.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. You know, I said to you yesterday when we thought the Chicks were going to be on the lineup, and I think you're right in that it does feel like they were going to get a female headliner, and they probably found Stevie. And I don't know what the chick's show is these days, but my first thought was, I don't want to be coming out of this 2.5 years and be preached at.
Didn't you see him at Moon River? I thought they were great at Moon River.
The chicks?
Yeah.
No.
I'm sorry. The Dixie Chicks played Moon River?
No.
I don't know who you're thinking of, but are you thinking about Brandi Carlile? Oh no, it was Barry. It's that band, female band that you love so much. Oh well, God, what in the hell was the name of that band? I don't remember, but no, it wasn't the Dixie Chicks. I don't know if the Dixie Chicks have done a show in. I wouldn't even know where to guess. I couldn't tell you the last time the Dixie Chicks did an actual show. I mean, they put it on an album, and I don't think anybody cared. And by the way, it's the Chicks. We're not supposed to be calling them Dixie Chicks anymore. But they did an album, and I don't know if anybody really even paid attention to it. I don't even think they toured on it. So, very odd poll. But again, I will say, I think it actually is one of the more inspired choices because of where it lands. Now, if you put it in the same slot as Stevie Nicks, we probably have some problems, but I have no problem with the Chicks being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down, 7 down. I don't have any problem with that. Yeah,
no, it could be a good show. Could be a lot of fun. My only hesitation is I just don't want to be preached at, but I don't care who that is. I don't care who the artist is.
I'm going to tell you, I know that my first initial impressions, they're all painted. I'm going to be very honest. It's all painted by Machine Gun Kelly. So, again, I reserve the right to have this lineup grow on me, but my initial impression is so much uncomfort and discomfort rather because of Machine Gun Kelly. But let's go through Friday, which, for a guy like me, there's a lot there. Robert Plant, Alison Krauss. I think Disclosure is going to sound fine. Lord Huron to me is, I've had my moments with them. The War on Drugs, I love with all of my heart. He's just so creative. I love this album so much. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. King Gizzard is a band that we've been targeting for years. Goose, ever since seeing them on the stream, was great. I know that Bleachers and Jack Antonoff gets a rough go of it by some people, but he used to be the guitar player for Fun. Fun was the only band in the history of Bonnaroo to have a number one single while they were playing Bonnaroo.
Right.
That in and of itself is incredible. And they were one of the biggest last minute additions on the Bonnaroo poster, maybe, ever. There's not been a lot of, high level additions at the last minute, like Jimmy Buffett is one of them. But Fun was one of those last minute additions, and Jack Antonoff got his first, Bonnaroo. That year with Fun. Now Jack Antonoff is back, not only doing the Bleachers show, but also the Super Jam. I have no idea what Jack Antonoff's 1984 is, but the dude's creative. The dude knows what he's doing, and I don't hate the new Bleachers album. I don't hate it. I know it's polarizing to some people, but it could be a lot worse. Like you said, Isaiah Rashad, Chattanooga Kid, came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. at least an hour, even in our city, people didn't see that coming.
Right. Big, what, hit 6 months ago?
Yeah.
So look at him.
He's on the third line on Friday.
Yeah. I'm excited. That's incredible. I'm excited to see it.
He's got to be the biggest Chattanooga artist to ever play Bonnaroo. Got to be.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody bigger at this point.
So then Still Woozy, and I haven't even left the third line yet. I love right. Still Woozy. So now you go to the next line, Denzel Curry and Japanese Breakfast, Tove Lo, Day Glow, and then I think it's going to be the crown jewel of Friday. I am in love with Arlo Parks. She had one of my favorite songs of the year. I love that album so much. Oh, man, Arlo Parks. Early in the afternoon show on Friday will be the first show of the weekend that really gets me going. If I stress anything to you, Barry Taco, go listen to Arlo Parks. But let me come back to Japanese Breakfast for a second, because you said earlier we are owed a do-over. She's had an amazing, Michelle's going to be on the show with us this season, and she's had a pretty amazing year. Not only she's, you know, had a album that has been critically acclaimed by every hipster, you know, magazine, blog on the planet, but also she's got a number one New York Times bestseller. She wrote a book as well. I can't wait to ask her how the what the difference is between the band from 3 years ago when they played Bonnaroo to now, because one of the most odd shows we have ever been to as a group was watching Japanese Breakfast take 40 minutes to sound check and then to play 25 minutes afterwards, and their set was over.
That's no exaggeration at all.
That's exactly what happened.
It was so strange. And every time we looked around, they're like, well, there was a hip hop guy that played before. And I kept wondering, I was like, I thought they were like the first ones on the stage.
They were like, pretty, if they weren't first, they were second.
They were second. Like, how this was so strange. And the reason why I never bought that as an excuse was I watched them do the hay bale sessions backstage, right?
That's right.
Inside
that's
the trailer, there's like two or three people, they get to sit in there and watch you record something for Bonnaroo Radio. And they had done that. And I swear to God, had they not spent half an hour sound checking, I wouldn't have believed you that they spent half an hour sound checking on the main on this tent. So there was something just not connecting in that space. And for them to come back to Bonnaroo, I am so intrigued with what that transition was like and how different that band must be now.
Yeah, I agree. It was weird, wasn't it, Taco? I mean, it was intentional. It wasn't like something broke or, you know, they were trying to hurry. It was, they just took their time.
Over and over.
Oh my gosh. It was pretty brutal.
It was
like,
bizarre.
Are we getting trolled? Like, is this real? Like, should we go somewhere else and do something else? Like, what's going on? It's so strange.
Somebody go tell them the show started.
You know how when you're watching a band sound check and then they start playing a song and you're like, okay, they got it figured out. Now it's time to, nope. They kept doing that over and over and over. They were playing snippets of songs. Like, is this like a remix? Like, yeah. What's happening?
You know, St. Paul came out the next year and did a sound check, and we all kind of went crazy, but it was about 30 seconds or maybe 60 seconds. And he just kind of waved and went back off stage. Hmm. And then they started. That's even unusual, mm-hmm. But the Japanese Breakfast thing was crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm gonna go to the next line on Friday, because there's some interesting stuff here. So Ty Verdes, The Regrets, Briston Maroney.
Weren't there Regrets on Thursday last year or the year before?
That was like 5 years ago, Barry.
Has it been that long?
4 years ago. We interviewed The Regrets backstage at Bonnaroo, and it was one of the most odd chats we've ever had, and they were children. I mean, I don't give them blame in this whatsoever. We were more to blame than anybody, but we were very unprepared. It sounded terrible, and we were talking to children, literal children. And I felt really bad about the interview. We didn't air it. And now they actually have a year this year could be a really big year for them. They've got a song that's, you know, starting to move on alternative radio. My station's playing it. We have a show with them in a month. They seem to have their shit together, and especially the people that back them. I mean, she's like best friends with Billie Eilish, you know, so she's got Phineas connections. So they're set up to have a really good run here. That's the one I would watch. But of course, Briston Maroney's been on the show before. Ty Verdes is he'll probably be on the show this year. This kid's, you know, sort of a pop alternative act. He's got a pretty big hit at pop radio. But the other one I want to point you to, other than Arlo Parks on Friday, I love Claude. C-L-A-U-D. I love her. I love her. I love her. Talk about another song that was in my top fives of the year. She's incredible. My buddy Chris Muckley at Sirius XMU, probably the guy that found her and started, you know, blowing her up on Sirius XMU. But man, I know there's in my own, I can talk out of both sides of my mouth here. I know that I'm irritated and sort of uncomfortable with Machine Gun Kelly and J. Cole and Roddy Ricch and Flume, 21 Savage. But, you know, I started digging in on Friday. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I just rattled off 15 bands that I could watch on Friday.
That's what I'm saying. It's better than at first blush.
All right.
Yeah, there's definitely.
All right. You want to take Saturday? What do you think about Saturday?
Saturday is probably for me the not weaker. It's the one where I know fewer people.
Okay.
Tool, like I said, I can picture them on the farm and definitely want to check it out. Billy Strings, talking about Zeitgeist. I know 2 years ago he was everybody's next big thing or one of them. Mark Rubilat is was on the last two or one. Yeah.
Look, I don't care what anybody says about Mark. That dude's show is so fun.
Yeah,
Yes, you can dog him out all you want to for being a goofball or whatever, but that show is a blast. It is an absolute blast.
Yeah, and then Ludacris, I'll go. That's a for sure. I got to check out.
All right, well, I'm gonna stop you at Ludacris because there's other ones, you know, in there that I want to talk about before you get to Ludacris. Like for instance, churches canceling, you know, their Germany dates to come over to America and do Bonnaroo. Mount Joy also been on the show before, but Ludacris. Would you rather have Nelly or Ludacris?
Ludacris.
Me personally, Ludacris. Uh-huh. But
we've already seen the show. He was just here.
You saw it. I didn't see it.
He just did this.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
And what has he done between then and now to make that show any different?
Again, these are part of the thing that I like about this festival and festivals in general is that I wouldn't buy a ticket for, you know, 90% of them or 95%. But the fact that I can see them along with everything else, it's worth checking out.
I know, but I think you're missing my point. He was just at Bonnaroo.
You know, that's one of those things that comes up every now and then with Bonnaroo fans, but they repeat acts all the time.
I know so that, I but most acts like Dua Lipa, who was there 1 year and then came back the next year to get on the main stage, at least put an album out that year.
Fair enough.
What is Ludacris?
I can't answer. I don't know.
I don't know what the show is going to be different. About the show.
I have no idea.
Okay. So then you get Judah and the Lion and Mount Joy. And then we come to All Time Low. By the way, Mount Joy, I'm sorry, Judah and the Lion is going to be on this season with us.
Good.
I like Slow Tie. Slow Tie is a really fun one. And then you come to Ash. Ash has got a little bit of heat, especially on the West Coast. The LA kids really like the Ash. She's got some Phineas connections as well. And then, you know, our old favorite from years and years and years ago, I think it might even be the very first ever Rue Clue, is the Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. Somebody might with a better historical accuracy tell me if Pigeons Playing Ping Pong was the first ever Rue Clue, but I think that they might be. That's how long they've been around and how much the Bonnaroo people love them.
Yeah, that's
our jam band.
That's the only one left on the list that I have any clue about, to be honest.
Really? Well, let me introduce you to Backseat Lovers. I like these guys a lot. They can get into, they don't jam, but they get into some long pieces. Really good rock outfit. I think they deserved a better shot at radio. They've got a song called Kilby Girl that I'm a big, big fan of.
Outfit? What are you, Dick Clark all of a sudden?
He's a tall drink of water, I say.
That's a good little combo, these guys.
And then Femi Kuti. And then, our boy Patrick Droney is back. Do you remember Patrick Droney?
I do remember the name, yeah.
I do.
Yep.
3 years, was it 3 years ago? We brought this name up. We're like, who is Patrick Droney? And then we ended up liking the song. Didn't we even have him on the show? Did we talk to Patrick Droney?
I don't know if we talked to him. Yeah.
We did like it.
I think we actually had that kid on the air.
I think. Well, we said we were going to.
I can't remember.
We said we were going to have a big meetup at the Patrick Droney show, didn't we? Was that it?
I mean, it might have been, but no, we never went to the show.
Davey was the
Davey. Davey was the meetup, but we actually never went to the Patrick Droney show, even though he's got that one song that we all seem to like that none of us can remember.
We're not going
to
remember, right?
He's a good singer, man. I like that. He's a good singer-songwriter.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, again, I go through this, and we're all the way to Sunday, and I've skipped over every electronic act, and I'm sorry about that. I just don't have it. I don't have the combination to the lock that is electronic music. I have been very open about this. I don't know any of these artists, and I don't necessarily think I should be talking about something that I have no idea about.
Yeah. I don't think we have to apologize either. I mean, you can't like everything.
Well, it's just not my lane. I mean, I just don't know who Shipwreck right. is.
No, I don't apologize. Okay. I mean, you know, you can't like everything. You can't know everything. And it always bothers me when people try to act like, oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah,
Moon I know. Comet. How dare you? Moon Comet.
I quit trying to do that a long time ago because I kept getting caught.
Yeah. oh, my God. I did one the other day. Oh, I felt like the biggest asshole. I was talking to a record guy. I'm not even going to say the band. But I was so convinced. Okay. So convinced the certain sound of this band. And he's like, are you sure you're not talking about Blankety Blank? I'm like, no. No, it is not like that. And then I did a quick Google search and I couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I could not have been more wrong. I thought that it, like insert, I'll just tell you who it was Rufus the Soul. I got it so completely wrong. I thought it was like some sort of like, oh, forget it. It doesn't matter.
I've done it too many times.
I get to Sunday. And I think to me, the one that stands out and the one that, if there's a can't miss on Sunday, I mean, who would pass up the opportunity of seeing Herbie Hancock? Who would do this?
Yeah.
Talk about an absolute banger parade. That is going to be the most fun show of the entire weekend. And I don't know if anybody will talk about it.
Well, it may fall in that Lionel Richie category where you don't think people... You know, but Bonnaroo folks are a pretty intelligent crowd. Most of them know their history. And between he and Stevie Nicks, man, that's a lot of rock and roll music history right there. So, yeah, it don't pass up seeing Herbie.
With that being said, the artist that I love the most on this day is Nathaniel Rateliff. I'm obsessed with Nathaniel Rateliff. I love the new album. Plus, I just love walking around the house screaming, son of a bitch, son of a one bitch, son of one bitch.
I can't stop guy. Doing it. What do you do for a living? I'm that guy. I'm the son of a bitch guy.
Yeah, right. I love the idea of just walking down the street looking like the way that he looks and somebody just screaming, son of a bitch.
Yeah. I want to see that one. And,
I do too. And I have a feeling that you'll find Nathaniel Rateliff, if he's there throughout the weekend, he'll pop up everywhere. That dude just loves playing. And he just doesn't need much. You know, he's just one of those guys that just shows up and can be cool, look cool, act cool, play cool. Everything about him is just the personification of cool.
I want to see all them witches too.
Me too. That's been on my list.
Okay. So you got, of course, Rez puts a fire. Wallows, sort of a, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy here and mean, but a little bit of a whiny alt rock band. Tash Sultana, oh god, I love her. She's just she might be a they, be honest with you. I don't know the proper pronoun, but incredible artist. Coin from Nashville's own Coin. You know,
they're
expecting,
Moon River, were they not talking?
They were, yes, they were. They're expecting some big things out of them. And then a girl that I met in Miami years and years ago, her name is Fletcher. She had a massive hit like 3-4 years ago, and just really hasn't been able to capture that lightning in a bottle again. I kind of think that she wants to be, if you remember the artist a couple of years ago, Banks. You know, she's got a little bit of that in her. The jaded ex-girlfriend route is sort of her angle, and I really hope she does well because I find her to be just an absolute sweetheart. You know, in fact, Did I have her at Running of the Chihuahuas?
I was just thinking that.
I think I
did.
I was
about to ask you.
I think I might have.
I'm almost sure that you did.
I might have done that. That's true. Yeah,
she's been here, and I'm pretty sure your radio station brought her here.
I think so. You got the lettuce in there, too, and that's about all I can talk about on Sunday.
You skipped over Pucifer real quick, but that's another another Maynard band. Yeah.
That's a Lord Taco angle. I couldn't. I don't think I could pick out one of their songs. I could do it. I mean, I really have. I have a tough.
I don't know how many. I don't know how many of their songs we could say on the show.
Oh yeah. I smell a game. I smell a game coming.
Nice. See, you found a bunch. We all found enough. And like I said, we haven't even done the deep dive yet. So, you know, there'll be some acts on there that I know I will have never heard of that I'll end up liking. But you might be right. There might be a whole lot more EDM than I'm aware of.
No babies. There's no babies on this lineup.
It's really a good point. There is not one baby for Lord Taco.
I don't see one baby. I don't see any little babies, da babies. I don't see them.
It's hard to do in this day and age.
I mean,
why do they hate babies?
Yeah. What is with Bonner's anti-baby policy?
Mm-hmm.
They're anti-babyites. Somebody get them on the phone right now and figure out why they hate babies so much.
Why are they so babist? Why do you hate babies so much?
Dear Ashley Capps. What is your problem with babies?
He leaves and they hate babies.
What is your problem with babies? Now, I'm looking through some Pussifer song titles. I don't see anything that's too outrageous here. Bullet Train to Iowa, The Underwhelming, Kill Mom, Kill Dad, Kill. is that not real? I don't see anything too crazy here, but yeah, that's a Maynard. That's another Maynard band. I think it'll be fun. So I don't have a problem with Tool. I really don't. And look, I'm pretty honest and forthright when it comes to the, you know, things that I like and dislike on the show. But Tool is always difficult for me because I was never able to tell the difference between Tool and Nine Inch Nails. I always had a difficult time deciphering the two. Really? And there was just a moment in the world where, you know, the Tool sound, the Nine Inch Nails sound, and you could probably even get to like Marilyn Manson and on. I just never got there, right? And never connected. I was out on a different plane. I was in, you know, I was on Neutral Milk Hotel and Death Cab and The Shins and, you know, whiny, you know, angsty shit like that. I was never into the Tool and that side of it. So I don't know much to say about it, unfortunately. I have to punt to other people when it comes to stuff like this.
I mean, there's a whole period of music that I missed because I was, you know, raising babies or whatever. So I understand, you know, or my
maybe we can get Raising Babies for the lineup.
Raising Babies, yeah. There's your baby. So Barry's not anti-baby.
I'm Barry, not anti-baby. That is
Barry is pro-baby. Yeah.
I am a baby, so I'm pro-baby. I'll be that baby. Anything else? Let's go through any more. Oh, yeah, the Super Jam. And then finally, the Super Jam with Jack Antonoff. They are really milking Jack Antonoff. There's something in me that thinks that he might just find himself somewhere else, like a campground late at night doing something. Something tells me they're going to parade him around like the Haley Williams of 2022.
Probably. I'm trying to look through the rest of the release that we got early to see if there's any big news. We'll come back and talk about the camps and the all those things. Tickets go on sale Thursday. For people who don't know,
the one I don't know that I am immediately intrigued by, Black Tiger Sex Machine. Give me some more Black Tiger Sex Machine.
I do. See that they've added Chattanooga shuttles.
Really? Mm-hmm. How about that? Look at you.
That's new to my knowledge. They've had from Nashville, but now they're adding from Chattanooga. So,
well, they added that last year, but last year didn't happen. So that
never happened.
No, so. People are still waiting on that bus to go. Still sitting.
They're still standing out there. Yeah,
I paid for it. But yeah, we'll get into all that later, and several other things. I talked to longtime listeners will remember the name Jeff Cuellar. He's no longer with Live Nation or AC, but he had been with the festival since its beginning. He's changed jobs, so he'll be a guest coming up. I'm looking forward to that. We'll have some great insights into the industry and changes and how it's developed and where it's going and all that.
This is officially the start of season 5, huh?
This is it.
That is correct. Wow. Season 5, episode 1.
What are the big change? We don't have a new set. We haven't added a new character. Do we have a love triangle this year? Is there? I'm trying to think some like drama. What happens on the drama. OC in the new season. So I added a dog. Hey, dog, Marigold, how baby?
There's no dashboard, so I won't pick up a dashboard mom, unfortunately.
You know, the news just came out this morning. Dashboard and Jimmy Eat World are coming to New Orleans.
I saw that.
March 21st. Yeah. You ready?
Maybe.
A lot of moms.
There's a lot of moms.
I wonder who the mom act is for this.
Oh yeah. Let's see.
You know what? I bet that you would do really well with Dixie Chick moms. I bet there's gonna be a lot of moms at the Chick Show.
Wear that PBR hat.
Nothing
wear it right now.
Nothing sends thighs a quiver. Man in a PBR hat.
And we also should mention, I don't know when, if it'll be this week or next or how soon, but we'll be talking about some of the other festivals too, right? The other lineup announcements. So.
I mean, if Coachella ever happens, we'll see. You know, there have been a few that have come out over the last couple of weeks that I'm actually really intrigued by. Somebody's going to have to explain to me what FYF Festival is. Is it Fife? I've never heard of it, so I don't know. But this lineup is absolutely incredible. It has got everything that I've ever wanted in a festival lineup in one place. I'd love to sort of dive into that one because I don't know what it is. I've never heard of it. And it's somewhere in LA. There's a Redondo Beach festival. That's nothing but 90s bands. It's like Smashing Pumpkins, 311, and then Weezer. Oh, and Black Pumas. Like it just the weirdest combination. But boy, if you love the 90s, head to Redondo Beach. There's a few more. Oh, and then the other thing that I found out is churches is going to be doing a whole bunch of festivals, including ACL later on this year, like they were. I mean, I think churches was there last year too. But you got the ACL festival coming. I just don't think that, you know, Voodoo is happening. The Buku lineup is out. You know, there's several other festivals that are coming, but the big one to drop is Coachella. And the fact that they can't seem to find a third headliner has gotten everybody. Let me ask you guys this. As Bonnaroo lifers, if what was happening with Bonnaroo, if what's happening at Coachella right now is happening with Bonnaroo, how panicked would you be?
I panicked doesn't enter into it anymore. I mean, really? After what we've been through, No, I mean, you know, we've joked about it every year. Lineup comes out. We love it. Week later, we hate it. 3 months later, we're not going because they've changed the entire universe around and they're screwing us all up. And then we go and it's great. So I just don't even
worry about it anymore.
All. No, not like that. If it was 2 years ago, it would be concerning, but so much has happened, like you said at the beginning of the show, that I just, you know, it's wait and see. Panic when it happens to me anymore, or if panic is even the right word. But I understand what you're saying, but it's just, you know, adapt. I don't know how else to put it.
I want to come back to this one more time. First off, I think that I'd be really panicked and very confused if I was a Coachella lifer like we are Bonnaroo lifer. I can't imagine what they're going through where every day they think they're getting a lineup and then every day they're like, oh, we lost another headliner. Start over. But man, I keep coming back to this. This festival is about acceptance. It's about love. It's about community. It's about taking care of each other. All of the wonderful things that we pull out of Bonnaroo. And one of their headliners is Machine Gun Kelly. I mean, I just can't get around that. I can't get around it.
Yeah. I did, changing the subject, but you, you reminded me. I've had several conversations this week with people involved. And, you know, we, along with everyone else, has raised the issue of communication. What happened, you know, with Bonnaroo? They're always so great at communicating, marketing, social media, all of that stuff. And the reality is, just like we thought, they've just been short-staffed. And when the thing started back up, it was, you know, drinking from a fire hydrant type of stuff. They had too much to do. So just what we thought it was, it wasn't, you know, a conspiracy. It was just not enough people to do the job at hand.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, we'll happens going forward.
I mean, that's why I think that any lineup that you put out in this environment on the scale of Bonnaroo or Coachella, you know, is a win. Congratulations. I mean, you get all the credit in the world, for being able to put something together.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really could. I mean, this lineup would have been fine for me if one name was.
You're not going to let that go.
I'm not going to let it go. I really just can't let it go. I'll tell you, we had the, like, I interviewed him about a year ago in deep quarantine. And I've never, like, you know.
I get it. I've asked you. I don't understand.
The guy was doing laundry. I'll put it that way. The guy was doing laundry during the interview. Oh, you know, nice. Like on video, like emptying out his dryer.
Well, he multitasked.
Yeah, he's a. I mean, it's impressive the man's doing his own laundry. I'll be honest with you. Well, oh, and the other thing too about Machine Gun Kelly, I will say, he loves New Orleans. He actually owns a house in New Orleans. He was filming a movie here with Pete Davidson for a while. And
that's so weird you say that, man. I was gonna say that's the one act I don't get. I've told you that before. I don't understand what his talent is. I don't understand why we talk about him ever.
Yeah, I mean, he before Saturday Night Live, I mean, he was a pretty good comic.
I don't know what he does on Saturday Night Live, but anyway, that's just me. That's my one.
So they're doing a movie here, and they always end up at this bar in Uptown called The Saint. And he loved this bar so much, he bought a house across the street. And
that's hardcore.
I know. I've got a bar here in my neighborhood that I don't want to leave the neighborhood because it's my favorite bar. It's right here. Man. Yeah. What a pals. There you go.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I will give him, you know, that he does love the city of New Orleans. He really does.
He apparently loves that bar. The city.
Bar. It's a fun bar. It's a fun bar. All right. There you go. Anything else? I guess it's time to start, you know, rallying the troops and finding some people to talk to, huh?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Now we got to put together a whole season of this.
We got to work.
Are we 16 weeks away? Like
something like that.
I think we're 16 weeks away.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.